In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God tied his promise to Abraham's children. But when Abraham left the land of the Babylonians, at the tender age of 75, he had no children. His wife was barren. Still, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He would become the father of many nations, and from his children the Savior himself would come. Sarah was impatient. She gave her maidservant Hagar to Abraham, and Ishmael was born, a son born not by God's promise, but born of natural descent, of a human decision, of a husband's will. So again, God spoke his promise. Again, he tied that promise to a son. Sarah laughed. Abraham believed. 1 year later, the Lord fulfilled his word. She who could not have children conceived and gave birth to a son. God's promise became flesh. His mother treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, and her promised son grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. But early one morning, the father saddled his donkey, cut enough wood for the burnt offering, and took his one and only son. His beloved son was to be sacrificed. Ishmael was also his son, but not the son born by the promise of God. The promised son journeyed with his father and two servants to the place appointed by God, a 3-day journey. The father was certain what he must do, yet he was also certain what God would do. The promised son would be raised. God would accept this sacrifice by raising him from the dead, for the promise of life and salvation was tied to him. He must live, for all nations must be blessed through him. He must live, for the promise of God never fails. "We will come back to you," the father spoke. The wood was placed on the promised son. The father carried the fire and the knife. The son asked about the sacrifice. "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb? Not my will, but yours be done." You could cut the tension with a knife, but Scripture refuses to mention it. Abraham lives by faith. The promised son lives by faith. Bound by love, the father leads his son to a hill, confident that he will rise on the third day. After all, he is still the son of the promise. As a lamb before his shears is silent, so the son does not open his mouth. And Pilate is amazed. He does not seek his own will, but the will of his father. He refuses to defend himself, for he is the son of the promise. Silently he stands on the mountain of God, ready to be slaughtered by his own father. His father could not take his life, for this 20-something-year-old is the stronger man. But the son willingly lays down his life to honor his father. He too is confident of the resurrection. Though cut off and forsaken by his father, he looks upon his God with hope and confidence. Though he dies, he shall live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The son is bound to the wood. Still he refuses to curse God and die. He believes his father is good and gracious in all that he does. The promise of God must stand. He lives by that word of God. Though he could have come down and saved himself, he waits for the Lord's deliverance. Though he suffers death, all nations must be blessed through him. And his father's children still must be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. The father takes the knife and reaches out his hand to slay his son, while the 12 legions of angels remain in heaven. No one stops him. The promised son is forsaken. No one comes to his rescue. No ram is in sight, for behold, he is the Lamb of God, born not by a human will or a husband's decision, but born by God's promise, born to take the place of all men. His father spills his blood so that foreigners and outsiders might be made children of the father, and be as numerous as the sands on the seashore. The Father's fiery wrath drenches his beloved Son as the whole world sat in darkness for 3 hours. His heavy hand presses him down as the Son of the promise suffers the eternity of hell. No one could take his life, for he is the stronger man. But he willingly lays it down, only after fulfilling his Father's promise of salvation. It is finished. The work is complete. Death swallowed him, but the Father's wrath is no more. The knife has been set aside, and you are forever spared. On Moriah, the mountain of the Lord, it was provided. This mountain's other name is Mount Zion, Jerusalem. Christ, crowned with a thicket of thorns, has taken our place so that we might return to our Father filled with Easter joy. It was the third day when all this happened, the day of resurrection. That Sunday morning, while it was still dark, the Father kept his promise and raised his beloved Son from death. He is pleased with his death. The Son honored his Father even in death. It was enough. It did atone for sin, and the Father received him back with joy and gladness. The Lord has provided. The Lord has provided a substitute, and the Lord has also provided a resurrection. What could you add to the Father's sacrifice? What can you do to make it more real or personal? The only begotten Son of the Father, the beloved Son of the Father, has taken your place. Can you doubt the Father's love for you? Can you question him? He who did not spare his own Son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Are you not his child? Did not water touch your head? Has not the sacrifice been placed on your tongue? Indeed, you are the apple of his eye, his beloved sons, sons who have the promise of a heavenly country. So we are willing to face death all day long. Our confidence will not be shaken. God must raise the dead. We are sons of the promise, born not in the natural way, nor by a human will, but we are born of God by water and through water. He must keep his word. He must raise our bodies. Confident of this, we are willing to give up everything to honor him. Though he takes away our prosperity, our health, our family, even our life, we silently follow him, uncomplaining. The resurrection is on the horizon. He will deliver us. He will spare us. He must. For we are not the sacrifice. His hand cannot fall heavy on us. It has fallen on our brother. He cannot punish us. He cannot even be angry with us. The fire is extinguished and the knife is laid aside. And so the historical event of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah points us ahead to the historical event of the Father and the Son on Mount Calvary. Thanks be to Christ, our God, our brother, our substitute. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.